Hello and welcome back to another episode of Info Dump the Podcast. I'm your host, Theo Mastio, and we are here very late with the promised podcast about horses. Lee, give me your best neigh.
Yeah.
That was beautiful. Okay. So for all you new listeners and for you, of course, Lee, the way this interview goes is I get to know a little about you and your love for horses. I quiz you on the horses and then you info dump about horses. My knowledge about horses, my knowledge about horses mainly comes from like rich girls who wanted a pony and the Madeira school where in the like 90s the principal traveled to New York and shot and killed her lover. Tell me where your love and knowledge of horses begin.
I feel like it was an immediate special interest. Like it was something that I was very, very into from the time I was very small, like prior to riding or anything. I was very drawn to horse motifs, horse movies, and horse stuffed animals, of course. And I ended up with a horrifying amount of horse memorabilia in the first 5 years of my life, simply because of that. And after that, my parents were like, man, we should get this kid some riding lessons, probably, right? Like it's probably about time.
I had a similar thing but with cows, but it was all like a fake thing. I think I've told you this before where I like pretended that like I liked cows, and then my mom was like, "Well, I'm gonna buy you a bunch of cow things, so like you better not change up that you like cows." So then I like lied for like 7 years about not or about liking cows, and I have like over 200 cow things. And it's
Have a question. I do have a question.
yes.
Why did you initially pretend to like cows?
Because so I was in this like talented and gifted program, and they were doing a little play, like one of the first times I've ever done a play. And it was about being in a waiting room, like in a veterinarian's office. And the teacher was going around and was like, "Tell me your favorite animal." And everyone was saying like dog or cat. And so they all got dogs or cats. And I was like, "Well, that's boring. I'm gonna go with something cool." So I chose cow. And coincidentally, there was a cow part for me in this play. So, but
Oh.
I didn't get riding lessons for
I would imagine that would be difficult.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. So I know when I met you, you're very horse
Thank
dri driven. You're very horse.
you.
You like you still have all those like the horse awards up on your walls, right? Like the from all the different things you've done.
My childhood bedroom specifically, yes. There's a big portion of me that doesn't have the heart to change anything about my childhood bedroom, so it's gonna stay the way that it did when I was like 12 years old.
That's so
So
real.
yeah. So that's part of that. Other part is there seems to be a thing with I've noticed with a lot of autistic people that I've met where we've had this conversation about having like a special interest at a young age. They like you almost feel like you have to make your special interest, your thing. Like everyone has to know that that's like your
Your
thing,
whole thing, yeah.
and so that did start very early on for me, where I was like, I need everyone to know that I'm the horse kid, and there cannot be any other horse kids. And so I did absolutely claim that part for myself, throughout elementary, middle, and high school. No one else was allowed to like horses, and if anyone mentioned horses, I stand up and I go, "Yes, me. That's I know about this, guys." And so, of course, it was well known that I was the horse kid, unfortunately.
So I was really into spies as a child. Like that was one of my special interests.
Yeah.
And but nobody like there's not a reason for you to really bring up spies, you know? So like it was just kind of like a so like I never got to bring up my special interests. So everyone like you know gets their time in the sun. And who's bringing up spies? No one's. So I had to bring it up myself. And I used to play spies with like the kids on the playground,
Oh,
and
that's cool. Yeah.
I talked to one of them recently, and she was like, "Yeah, I that was all you. Like none of us really wanted to do that. It was just like we were just like favorite or like doing what you wanted because you were like, yay, spies." I was like, "So nobody else was interested in spies.
No one else wanted to play.
No one else, but why didn't they tell me?"
You
But
see, communication would have been real great there.
we were also kindergartners, so you know that's kind of fair. That
You
skill's
know.
not really built yet.
You can't have it all at five.
No. So I'll ask you a few more questions later just to get really like into your love of horses and like, you know, just some things about that, but before we get to that, it is quiz time.
Okay.
So let's get to some questions. I have to determine if you really know horses like you say you do. So,
Oh my God. Okay. Did you
can
go on the
or
4-H website or something?
I did not. I did not. I use multiple sources. Can I name them? No, but I could probably find them again.
Fair enough.
So, first question. Is can horses burp?
Ooh, okay. The answer is no. They also cannot throw up because of the angle of their neck. And so, if a horse does happen to have any stomach illness or anything like that, they do tend to just keel over and die unless it's intercepted. Which is called colic. What you gotta watch out for is when they start getting down, you don't ever want that. You don't want them to lay down because if they start writhing when they're laying down, they can actually twist up their intestines, and that is what leads to a very swift death, unfortunately.
For the audience cannot see my face reaction here, but I am making like I'm like my eyes are popped out, not in like a boing, but like you know in like a huh?
Auga,
No.
auga.
Just learned about a horse throw up and colic and
They have really unfortunate bodies. They are really not meant to survive, and yet they do.
that's crazy. You know, I thought I chose this question because I thought like burping, haha, silly, funny. But okay, so like if horses can't burp, aren't they just like farting all the time? So like to get out
They
the gas,
fart
is
so
that
much. They fart
okay?
so much. You would not believe. I
Okay.
have to make for any listeners who are unaware, I am currently a tour guide where I live, and I drive carriages around and then point out fun things for tourists. The horse that I drive the most, named Jack, when he gets like kind of pissed off, like he likes to go, like he's not a big fan of stopping. So I'm like, "Hey man, like there's a stop sign, we gotta stop." He likes to stop and then let out a series of maybe the loudest farts that you'll ever hear in your life. And every single time I have to do that one Seinfeld bit where I'm like, "Oh, I didn't feed him beefarino, guys, don't worry." And it's just so I can't explain the agony I feel doing that bit every time.
I'm speechless. We're gonna move on to question number two.
was good.
What is the most popular breed of horse?
Okay. I'm gonna say specifically in America, right?
Yeah.
Okay. I'm gonna say quarter horse.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Okay. Two for two so far.
Very multi-purpose.
Yeah, I don't know too much about the American quarter horse, except for I feel like every horse I've ridden has probably been an American quarter horse.
That's very real. Have you majority done Western?
Yes.
Then yes.
Oh, question number three. A real big one.
Ooh.
How long ago were horses domesticated?
Ooh, hell. Okay. That's, oh my God. Well, for that, I gotta think about how long ago humans. Okay. Are you allowed to help me with ballpark when Mesopotamia was?
The let me go when was Mesopotamia 2340 BC.
Okay. It wasn't terribly long after that, I believe. I'm gonna go a good 2500 BCE or whatever you said. I think it was BCE.
Yes,
Yeah.
so that would be like that's about like 3,000 years ago,
Okay.
which is how long ago horses were domesticated.
Oh my goodness.
So okay, I'll give you that one. The next one's gonna be harder though. What is the original horse named?
Oh God. Okay. So, ooh, shoot. Okay. There I can see it in my head is the problem. It's one of those ones with like they've got like faded zebra stripes on their legs. And they kind of look like a fjord, but I'll go ahead and let you give me that answer.
Okay. It's
Yeah.
the diminutive Hyracotherium. The
Oh, there's
diminutive.
no way I would got it that. Yeah,
Yeah, these hold on, let me
Wait,
copy
so is
paste
this the
the quote.
first like
This is this you were right. It is like a spotted horse that kind of looks like a deer, but like this is like the first evolutionary, like what the horse stemmed from.
Oh, I know what you're talking about. Okay. So those are the small ones. Those are like dog size. I believe they had three toes. I could be wrong about that.
It looks, hold on.
Three or four.
I'm looking. So an animal that stood 4.2 to 5 hands. Why would you say between 4.2 and 5 hands? Just tell me how much feet, how tall. Yeah, it said that like it basically would be 30 centimeters or 12 inches
Yeah.
tall. And it had 5 toes.
Five toes. Interesting.
Yeah. And they're all like separated on the hoof, real
Right.
weird. That's crazy looking.
Weird. Yeah.
But the more you
I don't know
know.
how it became a hoof, but it became a hoof.
It did. I need like a horse documentary.
That would be very cool. Yeah.
But
I imagine there are some out there, but I haven't looked into
Yeah,
it.
that's real. I'm trying to think of like a place I could get a horse documentary that isn't like against BDS stuff right now.
Ooh.
I'm sure there's a place. I just don't know what I'm looking for. But
Yeah.
thank you for playing Whose Horse Is It Anyways? Thank you. I've been waiting to tell this joke.
It's so good. It's so good,
Thank you. Thank
Dan.
you. Now it's time for you to info dump about horses. Tell me everything you know and think is important for the audience to know.
Ooh, okay. Man, we were talking about hooves, so I'll start with that, I guess. You know what? I was talking to some guy in the middle of downtown yesterday about this, actually, because he came up and he was asking about it. So just to clarify, horses are not born with shoes, everybody. I'm sure everyone knew that, but just to clarify, just in case.
You mean they don't
They
have metal
are,
stuck to them?
yeah, no, exactly. No. They are born with little caps on their hooves to protect their mother's womb, just because hooves are sharp and hard and ow. So they have these weird little tentacle monster things that kind of grow on their hooves, and they fall out. They fall off like right after they are born. But they do look like little like squids attached to each hoof. It's very strange.
You
Oh,
know,
God.
with a high of 56 Fahrenheit and a low of
I
42 degrees.
appreciate
Alexa, she's
it.
listening in on you.
Seriously, yeah.
Yeah. But you know gel pens?
Yes.
You know how like when you first get one, there's like a little ball on it?
Yes.
That's
Yeah.
what I was thinking of until you started saying like squid-like thing.
It is very similar to that, except imagine little squid tentacles on the end of the little gel pen.
Okay.
It's
All
very
right.
strange. But anyways, their hooves are essentially your fingernail. So imagine if your fingernail was very, very wide and you were able to support your weight on it. And so they're just kind of standing on their little fingernails, which is very fun. So the thickness of said fingernail is imperative for shoes because the nail that secures the horseshoe goes into that keratin that's their little fingernail, and it's thick enough that it's able to take like the nail, and it doesn't hurt them. It's not touching any part that has nerves. It's again just like a real thick fingernail. The shoes have a lot of uses. Like again, I was talking about carriage horses. The use for them is particularly ours are walking on pavement a lot, and horse people know that's not awesome. It's not the best. That can especially if they're not walking, that can really get some damage in their legs. We have some padded shoes that we use actually that are steel, and they've got shoot, it's a chemical. You're gonna know it. It's from the periodic table. It's boronium or barium.
Barium.
Barium, thank you. Thank you, science kid. That is uses cleats actually on the bottom of the steel shoes so that they're able to dig into the pavement, which I think is very, very neat. And also they are padded in a way that they're not getting all, I mean, they're getting shock absorption essentially for the pavement, which is again much harder than dirt or where they would naturally be walking.
I need some shoes like that.
No, seriously. Orthopedic shoes, man. Some of these
Yes.
horses got better shoes than me, and that's crazy. But there's this one mare we've got, Ruby, that she has these huge platform shoes, and they're essentially orthopedic shoes for a horse, which is very, very silly. She stands like a full, like a good 3 or 4 inches off the ground taller than she would be without them, which again, platforms on a horse, it is awesome. But yeah, no, she's an old lady, so she gets extra support. But a lot of the riding horses have aluminum shoes, which are much, much lighter. And that is so they are again able to pick up their feet much more easily. Like for what I've done my entire life, which is hunters and jumpers, I mean, well, one, I'm jumping them, so you want to be able to be have light enough shoes that you can pick up your feet high off the ground. And then, of course, there's the fact that when you're showing off gaits like that, in hunters specifically, what you're looking for, if you're judging, is you're looking at the horse and not the rider in hunters. You're the background behind that is like fox hunting, and then of course like showing off a horse in like an auction sale sort of situation. So you're just really showcasing the best that the horse can move, which is really how I believe most Western flat classes grade theirs as well. Western pleasure is very, very different. I'm not gonna say that about pleasure. Most pleasure classes are you're judging based on the how pleasurable the horse looks to ride, essentially. And
What?
yeah, no, exactly. Yeah, it's very strange. It's for that class you want a very low head, and you do kind of want to look vaguely Western-y when you're riding in an English pleasure class. Just because again it's you're trying to make your horse look like you could put like a blind old lady on it and your horse could take her around the ring like without her doing anything. So again, just making it look like the horse is doing all the work is a really big theme in riding, which is where you come into the instances of people being like, oh, well, you're not doing anything. You're just sitting up there while the horse does all the work. And it's like, my thighs beg to differ. They are burning. It's just it's hard because as you watch people progress in their riding, what you're going to notice the most is as they progress, they look less and less like they're actually telling the horse to do stuff.
Okay.
Right.
So like the horse just like gets to know what they're supposed to do.
Yeah, so it's more subtlety.
Okay.
Is what it is you learn to be very subtle with your cues. So like if you're watching like a lesson kid go out, like they're like a beginner, you're gonna notice a lot of flapping of the legs, because one, they don't have the muscle yet to be able to keep their leg in place, which is a lot of thigh and calf. You are essentially holding yourself in a position with your lower leg, which is not super comfortable at first, I'm gonna say. So you're not gonna want again these flapping legs that like they're kicking, you know. You're gonna notice like a big flapping motion to tell the horse to go forward. What they learn eventually is you keep your leg closed on the horse, and you are going to add different amounts of pressure with your calves in different places to ask them to do different things. So there's like different things that you would do if you are asking them to trot versus asking them to canter, versus asking them to do like gosh, like some sort of dressage move. Let's say that you're changing your diagonal or something. Which is you're just changing direction, but you're going across the diagonal of the ring, essentially.
Okay.
When you're doing that, you want to push your horse over, so you're not it's almost like you don't want to imagine you're driving a car, because it's not like that. It's you want to imagine that you are moving sideways and forward at the same time. So you don't want to just point your horse at the corner. You want to have point your horse at essentially at the end of the ring and then have them sidestep as you are going. And it's not like a big like hard sidestep usually for the most part, unless you're doing dressage. But it is still, you want to have their hind end engaged, which is something that again you get to later. It's not something that it's gonna come naturally, because the horse isn't gonna want to do that, because you're asking your horse to engage muscles that are difficult to.
Right.
So if you're not asking for it, the horse isn't gonna do it. Which
So for beginner horse lovers, actually I talked to someone who hates horses today. Not
really?
that like they're it's more that they're scared of horses.
I understand
And
that. Yeah.
because I know that you've sustained some injuries
I
and like
have. I
you
have.
know my aunt Laura, she broke her rib cage.
My boss did that recently. Yeah.
From horse riding or
Not from riding.
oh, okay.
It was from some food aggressive horses, actually, that did end up kicking her right in the ribs, and it shattered like three or four of them.
So how do you know that like I know when I was taught up to like be around horses that you like as you're going behind them you like put your hand like on their body so that they know that you're there, but like what how are you not scared of these big meaty puppies?
I think that I'm definitely warier of some. Body language is a very good indicator, as it is for I mean all animals really. But it's just it's learning it's being able to learn the language, essentially. Like if some like French guy came up to you on the street and started yelling, like you would have no clue if
I'd
this
have a
was a
fit.
yell. Yeah, you don't know if it's a good or bad. Like if this is like an, oh, I'm so excited, I'm telling you about this thing that's down the street. You have to go to this like little boutique or something. I am going to pull a knife on you. It could be either or. So it's the same with horses, really, and again, all animals, but you start to notice little things. Like I was telling someone earlier, there's a big difference between a horse having its ears rested kind of towards the back, versus having them pinned back. So horses' ears are typically going to be upright most of the time, and when they're listening behind them, they're going to be upright and then just pointed backwards. So the inside of the ear you're going to be able to see from behind. And typically you'll see that on a fair amount of horses that are being ridden, because what is going on is they're listening for cues, or they're paying attention to the cues that the rider's giving. If they are pinned, the horse's ears are going to be flat against the neck, and it's almost going to look like they have no ears for a moment if you're looking fast. And that is a good indicator that you want to get out of the way. You don't want to be in the range of kicking or biting, because something is going to happen. It's a lot of people don't know that, or can't or don't know how to watch for that. And so that's when a bite can come seemingly unexpected, or a kick or something. But really, if I'm not very wary around horses usually, because I understand what they're afraid of. I understand what makes them upset, or like where they don't really like to be touched. It's like a cat. It's really like a big cat. Where like if you respect the horse, then they're gonna respect you, is really a big part of it. There are instances, of course, where some horses will try and push with you, like a dog will, you know.
Yeah.
Like if you are training a dog, you do not want that dog to think that they are in charge of you. You have to make it clear that you are the alpha of the household or whatever. It's kind of similar with horses, really, where you cannot let them push you around. But also that doesn't mean you have to be mean to them. That's
Right.
not what I'm saying either. And I'm not a huge advocate for a lot of riding aids actually that are typically used currently. I don't like spurs. I think that those are very unnecessary, and it's just it's the mark of you ignoring a problem is really what a lot of riding aids give. Because if a horse is not going to go without spurs, there is something you need to look into.
Right.
There's going to be a reason for that, because horses do not ever do anything with malicious intent. That is not ever what they are thinking about. And a lot of trainers you'll find frame it that way to kids so that the kid will learn to, I guess, quote unquote, train this horse back into, I mean, work, which is it's a very strange concept to me, because it's, you're just training kids to scare horses into doing what they want,
Right,
which is not,
which is abuse.
it
I,
is. It
yeah.
is. It absolutely is. And for some reason, horses aren't thought about as being an animal that can be abused. They like people think that, like, well, if you're riding it, you probably know what you're doing. A lot of times not the case. And you know what? I'm not actually a huge fan of bits either. I
But
know.
those are the things that like are in the mouth, right?
Yes, yeah,
Okay. I
they
saw it
attach
on.
the bridle, and so that's a part that can come apart.
Okay.
You
I
can
saw
take
it
the
in Demon
entire.
Hunter.
Oh, yeah, there you
the girl with the horse bit.
go.
God.
Yeah. Oh my God. No, that's exactly that. It's solely the bit is solely the metal part that goes in the mouth. And I'm gonna tell everybody, everyone that's decided to listen. I have ridden a 4-year-old pony, with just a halter, no saddle. It was a rope and a halter. That's nothing going in the mouth. That is like barely any pressure on the face at all. And she was fine. She was great with it. It's of course much easier when you're able to break the horse yourself and be able to get them used to certain things and get them understanding cues, which is really the big problem when you are switching from bit to bitless, is sometimes the horse is like, oh, well, there's not this bit anymore. I don't really understand what you're asking me, which is again where you come into quote unquote naughtiness with horses, where people think that they're being purposefully naughty, but what it is either they are excited, in pain, scared, or they just don't generally know what you're asking, and so they're doing something that they think you want. And so that's kind of where it gets difficult with horses, because it's a lot harder to teach someone to ride and care for horses the empathetic way than it is to teach someone into just using fear as a way to communicate.
Yeah.
And that goes for a lot of things, I think. I mean, not just horses, of course, but it is in the long run, I feel, better to be able to communicate with your horse than it is to not, because you're just gonna have a better relationship in general. I mean,
Right.
I've known someone who their whole thing is that you have to make the horses afraid of you or they won't do what you want. And that is a crazy way to look at it, in my opinion. I mean, th this person is also notorious for having the horses not come to them. Like, you know, like if you go out in the field to catch a horse, these horses are going to run away from you, you know? Like, why would they want to willingly come and do stuff with you if you are intent on making them afraid of you?
So I do have to let you know that we're running low on time, but I wanted to ask one last thing, and that was, well, two last things. One, tell us where we can find you. And second, what advice do you have for people who are looking to get into horse riding, but they don't necessarily have the funds to get started with that,
Ooh,
because
okay.
that's expensive.
It's crazy expensive. Yeah. So firstly, you can find me on Instagram at Stale Human Meat is my little art account. It doesn't have a ton of my art on it yet because I'm just lazy and can't be bothered to post my art most of the time. I would try and be better, but my personal is going to be legally binding, like Lee, like me. That's me.
So real.
and I would give my Twitter, but I'm just so atrocious that I don't think anyone
No.
should see that. No one should witness. lastly, for people that would like to ride, but maybe don't want to be continuously paying an exorbitant amount of money per month, I'm going to give the opposite advice that I was given growing up, because I was told that I wasn't going to get anywhere unless I had my own horse. And so that led to some issues later on, and yada yada. I won't get into the details, but don't do that. If someone tells you to buy a horse or you're not going to be able to ride, don't listen. Just move barns. You're not gonna want to deal with that. Trust me. It's coming from experience, I promise. But what you can do is reach out to some local barns in your area, see if they would be interested in taking on a working student or someone who is willing to do barn chores or barn work in exchange for lessons on their horse. It doesn't even actually have to be like an actual lesson barn. It can just be like someone's horses, and like they just have horses, and maybe they've got a saddle laying in the back of the barn or something that they'd be willing to let you use. But just make connections that way. Sorry about that. I ramble a bit.
It's okay, it's okay. So sorry for the viewers. We are using Zoom, and I'm not going to pay to upgrade my meetings. No, thank you. So anyways, Lee, I think that you were saying something about just finding a barn. It doesn't necessarily have to be like a lessons barn, but like just like reach out to people with horses and be like, can I exchange chores or like some kind of work for, riding lessons? Was there anything else that you had to say with that?
Gosh, that's primarily what I do want to say, just because it is something that I do firmly believe. The sport, it should not be as restricted as it is. It is something that is stereotypically very much for rich people, and that's never been me. I what I did is I got a really, really great relationship going with the trainers that I did have growing up, and I ended up working at the barn for my summers as a kid. just, I mean, feeding horses, mucking stalls, exercising horses, lunging, cleaning tack, just and anything that I could get my hands on to be able to, one, get experience, and two, be able to ride for free, which is absolutely something that is offered. It's just people don't really tend to list it. It's usually special cases. So again, just be courteous and considerate with the person that owns the horses, and I don't know, but be professional is a good one. And there are plenty of ways to be able to get secondhand tack, apparel, things that you would need for riding as well. There are definitely ways to go around getting all of the expensive stuff too. Like you do not need to get the $900 tall field boots for showing. Like, I promise you don't. Like, it's not necessary. It's just it,
And depending where you are, I know that community centers also sometimes like will help those in need who like are looking into like music lessons or horse riding lessons and those types of things and will help pay for it. So really, there's also like check your local community center or local like if anybody like has horse riding scholarships, there is stuff like that for learning.
Absolutely. And I will also say that if you aren't even super into riding, but you just want to be around them, a lot of therapeutic riding centers are looking for volunteers. And that is a very, very fun job as well, where essentially you just care for the horses, and then occasionally you'll just kind of hand lead one of the horses for like a lesson while like a kid or adult is up there. And it's just kind of sharing the kind of healing nature of horses, which is very, very nice. They're very sensitive to moods. And I think, gosh, again, same with a lot of animals. It's why they're so therapeutic, is just they're very calming. Because they understand almost.
Yeah, it's really easy to co-regulate with another animal.
Yes.
And I love that. Unfortunately, that is all the time we have today.
Thank you for having me. Oh my goodness.
Thank you so much for coming. I know this has been like long in the works since I did the DJ episode, and I thought that it would be smart to announce what the next episode might be. Joke's on you if you're watching this and you're wanting to know what the next episode is. I don't know, and I'm not gonna tell you.
We'll
So,
see. It's a toss up.
exactly. So, have a great night, and I will see you guys all later.